Well, good morning, everyone. I woke up, I've had the lurgy for the last couple of days, so today I can do my best Barry White impersonations. You can't get enough of your love, baby. All right. But you know what? It was good for me to come to church early this morning. Because when I got here early, I was outside having a cup of tea and I was chatting with Michael. And I said, Michael, he said, oh, how are you going? I said, oh, I'm not doing real well. And he said, whipped straight out of his pocket a eucalyptus lolly. He was armed and he was dangerous and I loved it. Michael, if I go down and call medic, I want you to bring me up another one, okay? Save me one for later, mate. Well, we are launching a new series, and I'm going to unpack what Tim just read to us a little bit later on. It was Christmas Eve 1989. I was staying out late. I was at a party. There'd been a few things that went untoward. But as the saying goes, nothing good ever happens after midnight. And this was the case then. Because one young friend of mine decided as a result of an altercation to go home and get a gun. And he comes back to the party. And as things transpired, the end result was two people shot, one killed. This had a major impact on my life. It turned it upside down, and as a result was the decision that I made to follow Jesus Christ. You know, what happened that night not only threw my life into turmoil, but it actually changed my whole view on my life plan. See, my plan was that I knew that there was a God. I had no problem believing that there was a heaven and a hell. For me, it was something I will worry about later. But then when, at a young age, people start dying, that throws that idea into a tailspin. And as I put my head on the pillow for over a month every night, the words that kept going through my mind was, you haven't got forever. That could have been you. You haven't got forever. That could have been you. And as a result, I gave my life to Christ. But I want to tell you that the goalposts over the next couple of years shifted for me. Because my view about being a Christian wasn't just about a heaven and hell decision. I wanted it to count now. And as I started to learn more and more about God, I started to see this isn't something for me to just worry about when I'm dead. This is something that needs to impact me now. I want this to count now. I want my life to be different now. And God started to show me that it's not just our eternity that He wants to shape. He actually wants to shape the world we live in now. Kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to change our now, not just our eternity. And He wants us to be different now. I don't know about you, but isn't that what we all want? And I think the challenge for us is to recognize that we are actually in a bit of a war. There are wars all around us, and God wants to equip us for that. Hebrews 13:21 says this, that God wants to actually start preparing us for what is ahead, but preparing us for now. because we do face battles of many kinds. It's not just an eternal question. And we face battles on multiple fronts. The enemy is cunning and dangerous. And he's out to impact us. But you need to know that God is wanting to shape you so that we can take ground, so that we can right wrong, and that we can win the war. He wants us to take ground, right wrong, and win the war. And you say, this for many of us, this is a physical battle, but it is also a spiritual battle as well. You know, we deal with battles in our everyday. For some of us, we're dealing with battles around addiction. We're dealing with battles around relationships. Battles around family, work, school. You know, you don't just say yes to following Jesus and like this nice straight path all the way to heaven. You know, we've learned today there is physical battle still going on. And there's spiritual battles as well. Am I the only one who goes into has a battle about trusting God? Sometimes I think I can do a pretty good job myself. I don't like letting go of the wheel. What about overcoming sin? A spiritual battle. This idea of living for the kingdom. So over the next 8 weeks, our plan is to arm you so that you can be dangerous in a good way. Dangerous for God. Dangerous for the kingdom. Be equipped with spiritual disciplines. You know, this is the things that we're going to be unpacking over the next 8 weeks. And I'm excited to launch us into this. And I suppose what I'm wanting you to come away from this today is this idea that, yes, I want to be in this battle. You know, we don't want it to just be lukewarm. This idea of just coming together for warm and fuzzy once a week. But do we want to right wrong? Do we want to take ground? Do we want to win the war? And so over the next 8 weeks, we're going to focus on these disciplines so that we can be armed and dangerous for the battles that we face. So when I was thinking about this message and I was thinking about, I was praying, God, what is it that you want me to say to launch us on this right trajectory? I'm like the opening bat, going out to see off the new ball and get the team ready to take ground, move forward. And I was thinking, God, what is it you want to say to our people? And so I was thinking about what passages speak about being armed and dangerous. And I was led at first, I thought, maybe Matthew chapter 7, because it talks about building your house on rock. Right? And it says, you know, look, don't build your house on sand, build it on rock, something solid, so that when the storms of life hit, or I suppose we could say when the battles attack, you are ready for that. I suppose it'd be like building a fortress. And I thought, you know what? God, I don't think that's it. That to me sounds defensive and passive. It's almost like we're just going to bunker down and wait to see what God's going to help us defend. I thought, no, I think it's more than that. You know, I don't think being armed and dangerous is about being a position of defense. Friends, I think God is calling us into a position of all-out attack. He wants us to actually take ground, not just defend it. So he wants to prepare and equip us for the attack. And so I was led to this passage. Because our role is not just to survive. God is calling us to thrive. So in Joshua chapter 6 that Tim read to us, it tells a story of the Israelites when they'd first landed in the promised land. This was had taken over 40 years from them from the time they left slavery. They moved into the desert. And as a result of their disobedience, they spent a whole generation, it says, so 40 years in the desert. And then the last hurrah was when they passed through the Jordan River into this promised land. It was the prophets told them it was the land flowing with milk and honey. So as you can imagine, if it's so good, it wasn't vacant. It was actually occupied by other countries, other clans. So you don't just walk in and go, hey guys, this is ours. Thanks for looking after it. Off you go. They had to take it. So they arrive on the banks of the Jordan River, looking around. And God comes to them in an angel and says, your first port of call is to take Jericho. Jericho is a fortified city. It's one of the heavy walls all around. The people of Jericho had seen them coming, so they'd already bunkered down. So they were ready. And the angel said to them, all right, here's the game plan. Now, I've seen a few war movies. And you know, there's those times when the music sort of raises up and then like the admiral or the guy in charge comes forward, you know, and he gives them the game plan. I don't know why, but my mind goes back to Braveheart when Mel Gibson says, you may take my life, but you'll not take my freedom. How is that? And then they've charged up and they're ready to go into battle. So you can imagine when Joshua says, what we're going to do, we're going to leave the weapons here. We're going to have the priests out the front with their trumpets. We're going around once today. Then we're doing it again tomorrow and the next day. And guess what? We're going to do that for six days. Why couldn't he have made it four? That would have been so much easier. We're going to do it for 6 days. But here's the real kicker. Get a good night's sleep. Because on the seventh, that's when the magic happens. We're going to do it 7 times. Oh yeah, it gets better. And we're going to blast those bad boys. Those trumpets will be going off. And when you hear them, shout. And that's it? Oh, yeah. That does not sound like a battle plan that I want to sign up to, but it was a battle plan that God had given them. As the Bible tells us, if you want to go and read Joshua 6, that when they did that and they went around and around and around, after 7 times the trumpets blasted and the walls came crumbling down, and God delivered Jericho for the good guys. So there's 3 things I want to pull out of that. As we think about the idea of being armed and dangerous, what is it, God, that you want to tell us through this picture this story, this idea? Well, first was that God was the one who clarified the enemy. They didn't just come in and go, right, it's ours. This is you guys that way. It was, God met them at the bank and said, right, this is the plan. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to do it. God was the one who clarified the enemy. Friends, I don't know about you, but sometimes the enemy gets blurry. And what Satan tries to do to deceive us is put smoke screens around what's the real battle. And the reason I come to church each week, and the reason I choose to connect with wise counsel, is because sometimes they can help me decipher who the enemy is when I can't see it for myself. Is it a coincidence that when I'm wrestling over an issue in my world, in my life, that when I come here and I pray, or when I do my devotions, or I meet with some of my Christian mates, and they say, Toddy, you're seeing this all wrong. There's the problem there. What they're doing is God is using them to help me clarify the enemy. Worshipping together is allowing God the space to help you know the battles that you need to fight. Anyone who's been in addiction will tell you that the bottle is the great deceiver. And so in Ephesians 6, 1 to 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. God is helping us clarify the enemy. Secondly, they kept to the plan. I don't know about you. See, because we read this, we look back at it through the spoiler and go, of course you do that. But if you don't know the walls are coming down, am I the only one here who would probably get sick of doing this after about day four? And I know you, and I reckon there's some of you who wouldn't even make it to day one. I just think it takes unbelievable courage and unbelievable faith to stick to the plan for those 7 days. Now, maybe if I'd actually just seen God part the Jordan River and walked across, I might be a little bit more open to it. But this is what these guys do. Friends, I think God wants us to know that over this journey, we're going to be challenged. And over the next 8 weeks, God's going to actually call you to greater account, to greater depth, maybe things that you hadn't thought of, a deeper boldness. And what I want to encourage you is to take from this that it's important to keep to the plan. Keep to the plan. What is it that God, where is it that God wants to take us? What walls in our lives does he want to see crumble? But he's not going to give it to us on day one. My prayer is that you hear the trumpets blast on day 7 in whatever plan God has for you, and you see the walls crumble and God deliver. So over the next 8 weeks, all our preachers, the plan is that we're all going to bring a challenge. something for you to embrace. I'm going to give you a challenge right here. Are you ready for it? I want to challenge you to be here for all 8 weeks. I want to challenge you to be here. If you can't make Sunday, come Saturday. You know, for some of you, it might mean that I have to actually make that appointment a little bit later, or I'm going to be half an hour late to that birthday party, or I've got to leave that a little bit earlier. My challenge is to be here for all 8 weeks and let's see what God does. You know, God wants to do a miracle here. And the third one is they saw God at work. They saw God at work. They saw him actually do something. This was a crazy miracle. The wall came down. I just think that through for a moment. And so part of me wonders, what is it that God wants to do in each of us? What would it look like? I don't want to wait for eternity for this stuff. I want it now. I want to see God do something amazing amongst us. Friends, 2 Corinthians 10 says we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. I believe that these spiritual disciplines that we're going to focus on over the next 8 weeks are going to be godly weapons for us. And we will see walls come down. You know, we sing that song, God, do it again, move the mountains again. Let's believe that God is going to break down some walls over the next 8 weeks. I can't wait till heaven. I want to see God at work now. You see, being armed and dangerous. Being armed, that's about being ready. Being dangerous. Being dangerous is about being a little bit God crazy. Being prepared to see God do something that we hadn't thought of. So it's a good dangerous, right? We want to see what God can do. And I believe embracing these spiritual disciplines is going to give us a hunger and a depth to see more of where God can take each of our lives. I'm going to invite the band to come up and join me up here. And I suppose we're going to sing that song, Do It Again. Sorry. And let me help you, Pam. We're going to sing that song, Do It Again. I suppose as we sing that song, I want you to think about preparing yourself for where God might take you. Preparing yourself for the battles that you want to actually thrive in. Maybe it's not about, maybe you've been a fortress type of believer where life's just been boxed in and I'm safe. And when the storms come, I've got enough around me to keep me safe. But maybe God's actually saying to you, you know what? The ground I want you to take isn't here. It's ahead of you. So I want you to step out. So as the band plays, do you want to see God do it again? And so you might want to just come and stand down the front as a matter, as a sign of saying, God, this is the first steps in my march. This is my Jericho moment when I start the march, and I'm going to actually just take steps forward and stand along here as a sign of saying, for the next 8 weeks, I'm all in to see where you're going to take me, what you're going to show me, how you're going to shape me, what battles you want me to take on, where you want me to be bold, where you want me to be different, where you want me to go deeper. And so as the band plays, if you'd like to come and stand with me as a sign of the commitment that you're making, then do it again. Let's make this our march this morning.